The Ferdinand Marcos era in the Philippines was marked by plunder, repression, torture, and atrocity. Over 3,000 people were murdered, 35,000 tortured, and 70,000 illegally detained. One journalist described the Ferdinand Marcos administration as a grisly one-stop shop for human rights abuse, a system that swiftly turned citizens into victims by dispensing with inconvenient requirements such as constitutional protections, basic rights, due process, and evidence. By the end of the Marcos administration in 1986, the country was experiencing a debt crisis, extreme poverty, and severe underemployment. A mere 3.5 years later, when the Philippines was still reeling, two young women in their early 20s who were studying theology arrived in Manila on an exposure tour. And exposed they were to Smoky Mountain, the vast mountain of garbage upon which so many people lived. They were exposed to humble homes made of corrugated tin and built alongside open sewers. And they were exposed to programs near the American Subic military naval base, where child prostitutes learned new skills in the hopes of a better life. For someone who had never been overseas, never had seen such desperate poverty, nor experienced any form of violence, it was quite a shock. But the biggest shock was the message being given to the Filipinos by the ever-present capital C Christian evangelists who had moved into the area in droves. Don't worry about the truth or the suffering that you're experiencing now, because it will all be better once you get to the kingdom of God. All you must do is deny your needs, give to us, and believe in Jesus, and you will one day be saved. Well, I was one of those two young women, and I came very close to losing my faith in the Philippines. In that time of huge uncertainty, confusion, and doubt, as this was not the kind of kingdom that I wanted to be part of. And to this day, I have an uneasy relationship with the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday, which we celebrate today. But perhaps, and clearly, the kingdom of God, the reign of Christ, is not what we first think it is. It is not what it appears. If we had continued reading in the gospel today, we would have heard Pilate asking Jesus, "What is truth? What is truth?" And the kingdom of God has everything to do with truth, with Jesus as king, as Jesus reigning in truth. His kingdom is not about determining the truth, but it is about being the truth. The kingdom of God is not about content, but about character. The kingdom is not ruled by a king, but by commitment. The kingdom of God is not a thing in the future. It is a person living in Jesus and living here and now. Because we, of course, think of kingdoms of being full of splendor, absolute splendor. And last week we heard about the large stones of the temple that were going to be thrown down one upon another. And often we realize that kingdoms in our world are based mostly on wealth and grandeur, privilege and power, authority and majesty, which is exactly what everyone was fighting for all those years ago in the Philippines. But we know all too well how buildings crumble, don't we? And so do we. We crumble at times too. We are faced with times in our lives where indeed the truth is difficult and we don't want to see it. We lash out looking for a place to blame, or we retreat within, locking our thoughts and our feelings in a vault. Because the kingdoms of this world bank on sowing suspicion and authorizing autonomy. The kingdom of this world depends on individualism and everyone for themselves, searching and leading off with their own agendas. The kingdoms of this world insist that hierarchy will make successful rule and that we must climb the ladder. We must keep people in their proper places because that's what it means to be a leader. But that's not what the truth says. Because the truth of God, the truth of God's kingdom, is about relationship. Jesus always chooses relationship first. And it doesn't mean the relationships always go well. We know that. We know what it's like to put ourselves in a place where we have to do things and say things that we know are the truth, but they are hard. But we must stand there. Jesus' kingdom chooses the perils and predicaments and telling the truth that God so loved the world. Jesus' kingdom is not something that we're going to one day die and go to. Because if it is, well, if that's all it's about, I'm out. But instead, Jesus' kingdom is right here and right now. And we get the chance to live it out. We get the chance to live into the character that God would have us be. We get a chance to be witnesses of that grace and love and commitment and courage. I was thinking this week about grace and love and commitment and courage when I came into the church and it was a war zone, really. It looked, there were construction workers everywhere. It was wonderful to see that many people actually doing something. And there were saws, and there were pizza boxes, and there was lunch, and there was people everywhere. And what a delight. Now, you need to know, I forgot to bring them. I was going to. I wore my hard hat and my safety boots. And what a delight to be welcomed by them, to say, oh, hello, look at you, all kitted out. Because I realized that for a time, this space of ours, well, during the week from 6:30 in the morning till 4 at night, they're in our kingdom, in our space. So how interesting to step into that. And in that discussion and relationship and talking about paint colors and boards and smelling the good smell of sawdust in the air, I realized this is the kingdom. This is the opportunity to build our relationships. When we're doing that, when Alice and Gay are out gardening, I know they're building the kingdom of God when people stop and say how beautiful the gardens are. When a difficult person comes into the shop and some of you help that person, and sometimes some of you ask that person to leave because they need to deal with whatever it is that they have brought into that space. Every single thing we do, every day, we have an opportunity to witness to the kingdom of God here and now and to celebrate the reign of Christ in our lives. So it's not a domain. It's not something to look forward to or to look back at because we read about it in the Bible. And that's a danger that we have because we all grew up and learned Bible stories and think that is it then and now. My stepdaughter sent me a text this week and so the last weekend, she and my 5-year-old granddaughter saw a nativity scene set up. The first one they'd seen outside with the lights all set up. And so Vanessa proudly said to little Abigail, look, it's a nativity scene. Jesus was born on Christmas. And so that's what we celebrate. Abigail said, yeah, I think I'm just gonna do Christmas this year. Because I've only read about Jesus in books, and you know, books don't always tell the truth. So I'm not sure about Jesus, but I'll do Christmas. My stepdaughter said, one for Abigail, zero for Mum. No, she said half a point, because my stepdaughter grew up with two clergy parents, and she said at least she knew who Jesus was. Half a point. Well, that's for us to think about. Are we going to do Christmas, or are we going to live out the kingdom that actually lives through us, that lives here in this space, that lives beyond these walls in people that don't even know that it does? Because that's the truth. That's the truth of what we celebrate, and that's the truth of what we will look forward to at Christmas. So when I think of the children who laughed and played as they dug through Smoky Mountain looking for some treasure to sell, with abandon, laughed and giggled, and we walked through and looked at the horror that they lived in, and all they could do was giggle and point and say, basketball, and grab a ball and ask them to play. That's the kingdom of God. Or the old man who was living in a corrugated tin shack, proudly showing us the pictures of his sons who had been disappeared and murdered, and smiling with his pride and saying, all I ask of you is that you go back to Canada and tell our story. That is the kingdom of God. Or the teenage girls who are weaving baskets, trying to stay out of life of a prostitution, dreaming and talking like teenage girls do everywhere around the world, of hopes and dreams for the future. That is the kingdom of God. I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. May we, in our lives and by everything we do, proclaim and live and bless others as we live out the kingdom of God, this reign of Christ Sunday and always.